Okay, so over the last while, it actually feels like it's been a year, but we've been chatting around freedom. Since when, Gav? End of May. It's a long time. And it's been really cool, just dipping into it and chatting around the different sort of various areas we can experience God's freedom. So I'm gonna. Oh, thank you. Yes. Is it sugar water? Not. Yes. Oh. Okay. So that's Matthew. And I'm actually going to use the Bible verse that you started with 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago? Anyway. But Galatians 5:1 says that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's in the NIV, and the NLT says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. So out of interest sake, how many of you have prayed the sinner's prayer more than once in your life? Or accepted Christ like multiple times? Anyone? Nah. I've probably done it about like 5 or 6 times as a kid especially. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but at the time I was doing it, at the time I was doing it to make sure that I was saved. But what I realize now is that I was actually just recommitting myself to God as I discovered more of him, because we're on a journey of discovery. So as we discover more and more of God, we recommit ourselves from a place of deeper intimacy with him. So from my first prayer as a kid, my freedom through Christ was more of this freedom, and I'm still very much on that journey today. So we serve a living God, therefore we cannot expect to stay the same, especially not if we're pursuing his presence. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Lamentations 3:23, sorry, Crystal, says, great is his faithfulness, his mercies begin afresh each morning. So there's a freshness about God, a constant giving about God. And even tonight in worship, I could feel that quite strongly, just that he was excited to pour out his peace and grace over us. And he is every time we gather to worship him. So even as a teenager, I remember praying for forgiveness every Sunday before worshiping. And I got caught up in this repetitive cycle of arriving on a Sunday, feeling totally unworthy because of my sin. And until I prayed for forgiveness again, I couldn't actually worship. It was as if I was crucifying Jesus every Sunday, when in fact Jesus died and defeated sin and death that one time for good. And what I'm saying is that as a teenager, I didn't get the fact that once I accepted Christ and claimed the gift of grace by his death on the cross, I became a new creation. So my identity changed. So every time I came to church and started worshiping, I could, in fact, approach his throne with boldness and thanksgiving because I'm now in right standing with him. So by his grace, I could pick up where I left off with him and actually grow in him rather than go through the same motions of approaching his throne as if I hadn't already received this amazing grace. And this obviously doesn't mean that I now have a license to sin because he's forgiven all of my sins. It's not like that. Romans 6:14 says the following. Sin is no longer your slave, for you no longer live under the requirements of law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you're free from your slavery of sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. A revelation of God will never produce a licentious lifestyle. On the contrary, it will set one free from all sorts of sinful lifestyles. Going back to Galatians, I really enjoy this verse, so I kind of want to unpack it a bit. It's a very short verse, but anyway. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. This brings me to a few points I want to start with regarding freedom. And I'm extracting these points from this Bible verse. But so the first part says, Christ has truly set us free. And I feel like the ball's in our court now. It's up to us to claim that freedom and honor it as Christ's ambassadors. The second part says, now make sure that you stay free. And by stay free, I don't believe it means stay saved, because I don't think, like, salvation isn't at stake here. What's at stake is our experience of the power of Christ in our lives today and for the rest of our days on this earth. Because we actually have a very unique opportunity now to carry God's freedom in a sinful world. We have a very unique opportunity to see the power of God move in a fallen world. When we leave this earth, there will be no more sin, no more pain. So this is our only opportunity to be a light in a sinful world and to see the power of God break through in this world. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are called to throw off the things that hinder and fix our eyes on Jesus. Galatians 3. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. I love that they say once lived, and I've underlined that because we have a new way of living. We have a new identity. We walk in the grace of God now. We're a new creation. So, as I've said before, as a church, we've been on the topic of freedom for the last few months, and there were a lot of different sermons on the various areas in our lives where we can experience God's freedom. And this just got me thinking more about the fact that there's a lot of bondage in the world, a lot of corruption. I think the area where Satan really robbed us of our freedom is in the area of money, sex, and power. And Darren, you mentioned that at the start of the service. And tonight I want to focus on one of these areas and chat a bit more about it. And that is the area of sexual freedom. And I was reading a bit during the week, and I read an article recently regarding church and sexual freedom. And I'll read the paragraph now and elaborate a bit. But this is what it said. So, Christians and the church tend to shy away from talking about sex, premarital sex, and sex outside of marriage. God and sex are rarely mentioned in the same sentence. Now, this isn't entirely true, because we do talk about it at Fountain, but it just got me thinking about, at home or at the church I was in. And as a result, this led me to discover it through the world's view, because frankly, the world has a lot more to say regarding this topic, or is a lot more outspoken regarding this topic. And I think, us as Christians need to be even more so. So here's the definition of the word sexuality. Human sexuality is the way people experience and express themselves sexually. This involves biological, erotic, physical, emotional, social, spiritual feelings, and behaviors. I love that they list so much in this definition. It's not just a physical thing. It encompasses all aspects of our being. And people often think it's just a physical thing, but it's so much more, and it affects us on so many more levels. And I love that we're part of a church that encourages conversations regarding sexuality and is active in helping people break free from their sexual struggles, even with this little promo thingy that we saw earlier. In the article I mentioned a short while ago, they go on to say that this is more sort of a solution, but they say we can teach our children about sexuality and biblical moral standards by emphasizing love, commitment, and consequence. We don't need to shame them in order to teach them. We can teach them to value good communication regarding sex by the way we ourselves communicate with them about sex. It just got me thinking about, like, instead of waiting for the world to teach our youth about sexuality, like, we should be doing that. And I love those points: love, commitment, and consequence. They're actually tools we can use to combat sexual sin. Because if I break it up, just love. What is love? So love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, isn't proud, does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Commitment: practicing self-control in the area of sexual sin, to offer your whole self to your spouse one day. And just a side note, like, I also think like a lot of people think that, you know, once you get married, those struggles will disappear, or that's you just have to get there and then you're fine. And that's not the case. Like, if you have no self-control outside of marriage, you will have none within marriage. But what you will have is actually just greater consequence for your struggles, because it's not just affecting one person anymore. And then another, what? Oh, I can't. I've already scrolled up. Then another interesting fact I read is our silence on the subject of sexuality has contributed to the decline. And I don't know if this is a true fact, but maybe. Doesn't really matter. I found it to be quite interesting. So our silence on the subject of sexuality has contributed to the decline in church membership. It has in fact been noted that people drop out of church for an average of 8 years between high school and young adulthood, around the same time when they reach the so-called sexual peak years. It is during this dropout phase that sexuality without spiritual values can be learnt. And this obviously has various negative implications. And in that same article, I read the following, that for generations, people were discouraged from talking openly about sex, as though it were something to be ashamed of. Yet there's a book in the Bible that speaks beautifully of sexuality and explicitly talks about physical desire, passion, and pleasure. So the false notion that sex is wrong and sinful should be set right in order to restore sex to being a beautiful gift from God. What message does it send out to adolescents if adults constantly avoid the subject? Again, going back to Galatians. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. I have a few more thoughts regarding this. And the first point is to talk more, to talk about it. Open your mouth, say something. The minute you tell someone, it's in the light. Use the people in your life, because you can't fight alone. Darkness is the absence of light. So if you're not shedding light on your struggles, whether sexual or not, you're in darkness. Number two, your strength comes from God. So remain in Him, spend time with Him daily, because we leak, and we live in a world that will fill your leaking bucket with contaminated water if you're not filling it yourself. 2 Corinthians 12 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." My third point is just to pray. And he simply said that fish swim, birds fly, and Christians pray. And it's so true. Like, we need to be praying. And in James 5, it speaks of how the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we are righteous because of Christ. So there's so much power in prayer. And I think we really need to come back to that and just, remember to pray more, to pray for each other. And to really just use the people around you. So I think, freedom is ours, and it's now just our responsibility to maintain that and honor it. Yeah, so that was like 2 minutes. But yeah, I kind of want to just carry, oh, it's me. So weird. Kind of want to carry on. As I was saying, there's just such a lovely sense of peace in this room. And I really feel like God wants to speak to us about that and just pour it out on us. So a couple of thoughts I had is, firstly, Sara, do you mind just playing something on the keyboard? Not too... Oh, wow. Thanks, Sara. I actually prefer the real keyboard. Thanks, JP. But yeah, anyway, I know that was very short, but I'd like you guys to just stand with me, if you don't mind. So, there's two things I'd like to do tonight, and that is just pray, because it's such a high priority for us. And so, if anything I said resonated with you in the slightest, just close your eyes and put your hands out before the Father, and just begin to pray. And he's wanting us to just pour out everything of us, you know, whatever's on our minds, whatever's on our hearts, whether our thoughts or frustrations contradict what he says in his word or not, like he wants us to be honest with him. So yeah, I think we can just close our eyes and just begin to pray. I think the second thing I'd like to encourage is that we open our mouths and speak to each other about life, about struggles, about just celebrations. Just celebrate with each other and be real with each other. Yeah, so Father God, we just welcome your power. Thank you. Thank you to in this place, Father. Thank you for what you started doing during worship, Father. And we just open ourselves to you again, Lord Jesus. Yeah, and we pray, yeah, that your peace will just rest on us now, Father, that you would equip us, Lord Jesus. Yeah, thank you that, our weakness is made perfect by you, Father, because of your strength. Yeah, so in the areas in our lives, Lord, just come and empower us, Father, to throw off the things that so easily entangle. There's another thought I had over the weekend just about us just taking more risks in speaking what we think the Father's saying and encouraging others. So, so those of you who aren't in a position to receive or you'd prefer to just go pray for someone, please do that. And I don't want you to worry about like what you're going to say to the person or what God's trying to say through you. I think if you just walk up to someone, God will do the rest. And even if you end up just affirming someone or just calling out something that you admire about them, that's enough. So, let's just take a moment and pray for each other.